Good morning. My name is Pete Palermo, and as you can tell, this is not my normal attire, and neither is it normal for me to be standing up here in front of you. But today, we're kicking off our work involving East Africa missions, and also to announce next summer's mission trip that's going to be taking place. As Chris read earlier from Matthew 28, referring to go and make disciples of all nations, this church has been involved in that type of work in East Africa now for several years. And back in 1998, Grace was introduced to some Christians, the Ugandan Christians, who had a vision to plant 200 churches in East Africa. Up until then, they had prayed for years that others would help them as they struggled with limited resources to plant and establish new churches. Grace Community Bible Church got very involved and has had teams go almost every year since then. And of course, we will have a team be going next summer. Well, guess what? All of us here are already part of that team. And we want you to be thinking about how God wants you involved in that mission work in East Africa, either to go or be part of the home team. A good place to start is staying for lunch today, where you can enjoy food and fellowship with other team members. I'll be there to answer questions, or you can ask anyone with a missions shirt on. Morris and Ida have been praying for years for other churches to partner with them in planting churches. His dream is to have 200 churches in at least three African countries. They do a great job to organize our in-country schedule while keeping us safe and healthy. They and their team also pray for us all year long. Since 1998, there have been about 100 new churches planted. Grace began in 1999 with the first of our many church plants, and Grace has planted or been a part of 18 of those 100. A church in West Texas has also made it possible for every church plant to have an Awana program. Because of the success that God has given to this work, they expanded into Kenya in 2003 and into Tanzania in 2008. And teams from Grace were there on those church plants. Grace has introduced other churches in America to East African missions, who have introduced more churches who in turn have done the same. There are now about 23 churches involved as a result of Grace Community Bible Church's involvement there. The family tree continues to expand, where Grace, being grandparents of this loose confederation of churches and ministries. As Grace members relocate for various reasons, they in turn introduce more churches to this mission. A present example of this expansion is through one of our college students. He has explained this church planting mission to his church in Lubbock, who are wanting to team up with us for next year's trip. In preparing for our trip, Morris and his team will already have the church building completed and the pastor's house built. He also has a team of translators waiting for us to join them as we will go house to house sharing the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. We have seen many people's lives changed after trusting Christ, such as alcoholics turning from alcohol and becoming loving, responsible husbands and fathers. Those who have been there have many stories which we would be excited to share with you. So if you find one of us, please ask in the coffee house. These new baby Christians begin growing under the teaching of the seminary-trained pastor who himself may have trusted in Christ because of a previous church plant years earlier. As these new believers grow, the pastor identifies and disciples men who will become elders and deacons. Some of those men go on to seminary. Many of them become involved in future church plants, working as translators or organizing other trips. And as you can imagine, the growth cycle continues. Well, as you can see by this slide, since 1998. Grace has trained 150 short-term missionaries, been involved in 18 churches in Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania. Thousands have trusted in Christ. And with our ministry children and grandchildren, 500 plus additional trained short-term missionaries, 60 additional churches in Uganda and Kenya, additional thousands have trusted in Christ. And I must tell you that when we're there, we see how your prayers have cleared the way for God to be working. Please be part of our team as prayer warriors. It is so important that you as team members pray for the preparation and training of those who go and also during the trip. Each team sees about 1,000 or more people trust in Christ. May I ask you a question? Will you ask God to show you how he wants you to be involved? This is a list of churches that Grace has planted, and I'll have a copy of this in the coffee house for those that want it. But as you may notice, some years, Grace planted two churches. The church plant last year was very successful, even though it was our smallest team yet. We still saw a full church on Dedication Sunday, and that's because of much prayer, God's blessings, and a prepared team on both sides of the ocean. If you've been to Uganda or Kenya or Tanzania, would you stand up a moment, please? And I'm going to put these people on the spot, because if you catch them in the coffee house, I think they'd be glad to share some stories with you. Another blessing from this ministry has been the Lwanda's Children's Home, which cares for over 100 children. Children that were orphans, had no place else to go. Very destitute. It's a growing ministry there that was spawned from this church. Supporting and expanding the Covenant Bible Institute of Theology, which is the seminary from which we are, the work over there gets their future pastors. Also providing water for some local churches and communities. There's also the Covenant Primary School at the Lwanda's Children's Home, and other ministry and services to the community, which I'd be glad to share with you more about in the coffee house. Also to share with you more is, got a recording from a little short video from one of the people that went on the trip last year, Rachel Grindstaff. She's going to share a little bit, and you're going to see some Uganda footage. And then Fred Pettigrew, who's been several times, is going to share with you about his trip, his time there. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Rachel Grindstaff, and last October was my first time going to East Africa with Grace when I was 17. It really took me a while to decide that I wanted to go on a trip. I had heard a lot about it, and I thought it sounded great, but I was pretty sure it wasn't for me. And I had some good excuses. So a few different people came up to me as the trip started getting closer and asked if I was going, because they thought I would love it. And I kept saying, you know, I'm probably not going to go this year. I mean, it's my senior year, and I have a lot of school to do, so I think I'll stay home. But then, by the time the third or fourth person asked me if I was going, I started to think, maybe I could go. And one thing that helped me decide to go on the trip was when I realized that it's God's will for all Christians to share the gospel. So what we're going to be doing on this trip is something God wants me to be a part of. So I ended up just signing up for the trip and deciding, okay, we'll just see how this goes. And I ended up getting a lot of things that just confirmed that I was supposed to be there, and a lot of open doors, and I went to East Africa. So the biggest thing I was nervous about with the East Africa trip was sharing the gospel head to head. That really scared me. For one thing, it was something I couldn't have control over. I couldn't have control over who my translator was going to be, or which people I would talk to, or the questions those people would ask me, or even if those people would be able to understand what I was trying to say. And then also, I'm really not one of those people who just naturally excel at sharing the gospel. It's more like I'm really scared every single time I do it, and I don't do it enough because I'm scared. So the East Africa trip was a really good thing for me because it was big enough that I couldn't back out of it, and I couldn't do it on my own. I really had to depend on the Lord. But there was also a lot of grace. It really helped that I was able to watch Mr. Pete Palermo and his translator do it a couple times before my translator and I got out there by ourselves. And also, the bad news, good news presentation we use is really clear. So that was a good place for me to start, since I was not very confident in using my own words to share the gospel. So if you want to or think you need to start sharing the gospel more, I think the East Africa Missions Trip is a really good place to start. You will be pushed beyond your ability and beyond your comfort zone, and you'll have to really lean on the Lord and depend on Him to do the work, and that is where good things happen. Going on the East Africa trip is not about being a super good evangelist or being the most amazing Christian ever. It's just about making yourself available to God, and then He lets you be part of the work He's doing, and that is a pretty awesome experience.
I'm called Pastor Maurice Ogenga. I work with Presbyterian Church in Uganda, and I've been working with Grace Community Bible Church since 1999. And since then, they have introduced us to many churches, and the work has been good since we began. We have now planted 57 churches, and this week we have just been opening a church in Wangale. We have been going to prisons, we have been going to schools, and also today we are having a youth conference, and also we are having a graduation today. We just want to thank God for God being put us together with Grace Community Church, for the love they have for us, that since we began, since 1999, up to this day, they have never stepped down, and they have been encouraging to us, and they have introduced us to many people, and we still pray that they continue coming, and we pray the work is really big, and the harvest is plenty, and really we need more workers in the field, and we continue praying for grace every day that they continue coming, so they will continue working in the vineyard together. We are very grateful for the work done this week. It was wonderful. We saw many people came to the Lord in schools, in prisons, and also in house to house. So we still continue saying to Grace, please, don't give up. We are very grateful. The work of the orphanage is doing well, and we are seeing how God is doing His work, and we are very grateful. So we continue praying that we continue working together until Christ returns. Amen.
Jehoshaphat is my name. This is my message to the Grace Church. Thank you so much for the work you're doing in Africa, mostly in Kenya and Uganda. Every dollar you invest in the fields is saving millions of souls, because from one soul produces many other multi-souls by the preaching of the gospel. It is not about money. It is about the people we reach to. Welcome to Africa. Plant a seed. Multiply it. At the end, expect a reward from the Master Jesus Christ. God bless you guys. We love you in Africa.
I am our pastor, Moby Simon Peter, serving with our Presbyterian ministry of the Eastern Uganda. I am glad and nourished by the work of Grace Community Bible Church, that they are working tirelessly for the good of the Ugandans, especially with the Great Commission. I also wanted to send back my greetings to the Church of Grace Bible Church, back in the United States. When you get there, say hello to them, especially Boa Keith. He's the father of faith to me. He's the one who bore me in Kahima Presbyterian Church in the year 2001. Thank you very much, Pastor Keith Bow, for whatever you did. I am now a pastor, and wherever I am, I think about the times that you came to spend with us in Uganda, and speaking the word to me, that I am also speaking out to the rest, that the gospel of Jesus shall ever go to the rest of the world. Thank you very much. I love you so much. Wish you blessings when you turn back home, that God may continue blessing you abundantly for the good of the Ugandans and the good of the American citizens. Thank you very much. God bless you.
I'm Fred Pettigrew, and I wanted to, or they asked me to share with you about my experience on the trip. That last part of that video was from my first trip in 2004. And so it brings back a lot of emotion seeing that again. And the video doesn't really convey the gratitude that the people in East Africa truly have for this church. This church has a very special reputation over there because they feel like we were the start of all this. And I wanted to speak a little bit about relationships because that's one of the big important things on these trips. You start off doing the training and the team gets together and goes through all the training and stuff. And so you build relationships with your teammates. And then there's always usually team members from other cities, other churches and stuff that you may not meet until you get there or until you're on your way. So you're traveling together. So you're building a relationship the whole time. And then when you get over there, of course, you build a relationship with the translators and all the pastors and everybody in East Africa, the Gingas and everybody that the cooks, the drivers, everybody that's taking care of you when you're over there. And two, the orphanage. If you go to Uganda, you'll probably get the opportunity to go to the orphanage and see the children there. And it's just wonderful to build relationships with those children. They remember you when you come back. And of course, the most important relationship is your relationship with Christ. And I can guarantee you it will grow because of the way we work over there is you're doing worship, singing praise and worship every morning, every evening. You're doing devotionals and you're just spending a whole lot of time in the Word and quiet time. And of course, during the day, you're out sharing the gospel house to house or in the schools and in the prisons. And so you're just immersed in God's word and just you just have to grow. I mean, there's no way out of it. So it's a wonderful experience. If you haven't been, you should go. I see faces of people out there that have gone on trips with us, and it is a wonderful experience. I've been, I think, 7 times, Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania. And it's just beautiful country, as you can see from the video. It's a neat place to be, and the people are wonderful. The first impression I had of them was it's the hardest working bunch of people I've ever seen in my life, just working to survive. You know, we're spoiled. We have everything we need at the touch of a finger, but over there, they're working hard every day just to live. And they know they need more. They know they need a higher power. And so when you share the gospel with them, they're very, very receptive to it. And I have to say the vast majority of people I talked to were ready to accept Christ. You know, you get very few rejections. And Rachel made a comment on her video that the first time it's a little, you know, you're going around sharing the gospel with all these people and it's nerve-wracking, you know, and we would laugh at how we could mess it up so bad. And then they'll go, yeah, I want to pray, accept me. And go, really? From what I said, you got that? You know, it's just because you, no matter what you do, you'll mess it up. But, you know, God uses it, and people come to know the Lord through our efforts. And it's a large amount of people. So it is very rewarding. I want to read, yesterday morning I was reading My Utmost for His Highest from Oswald Chambers. And it struck me because the last line of yesterday's devotional says, God places his saints where they will bring the most glory to him. We are totally incapable of judging where that might be. And there's so much truth in that. And we just, if we're obedient and do what he asks, he'll use us. If he can use me, he can use any of you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Fred. Well, if you've been with us, you know that for the last month or so, we've been doing this Focus on the Church series. And in a sense, we've taken a break from that, but in another sense, we haven't. Because a prime purpose for the church, and we'll get into this, by the way, in a couple weeks, one of the prime purposes for the church is to reach out to a lost world. So when we think about this little series on the church, very much so is it having to do with God's chosen instrument to change the world. In fact, Oswald Smith made this comment: any church that's not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist. Now, the Great Commission is a term coined about 200 years ago based on Matthew 28, 19, and 20. If you're not involved with Matthew 28, 19, and 20, after a while you really need to question, are we really much of a church? And of course, that's been a big focus here at Grace, and it was a big focus here long before I got here. In fact, one of the reasons I was interested in coming to Grace was I saw that there was a real concern for the lost, and especially overseas. All I want to do is just share a couple passages with you to tie up this morning. First of all, I'd like to say this. You know, we've gone through 1 and 2 Samuel, we've gone through 1 and 2 Kings, and you know that the heart of God was to see Israel to be a light to the nations. In fact, if you were here last week, I talked about worshiping at a balanced church. Remember that message? Well, I talked about how the psalmist loves to repeat this phrase, sing to the Lord a new song. Some 16 times he does that. Well, I'm going to show you a passage where he does that, and then watch the context of the passage. This is Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, and then watch. All the earth, sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Now, this is a Jew. He's thinking quite globally here. Ascribe to the Lord all families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations. That's the goyim. That's the lost. That's the pagans. The Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. And see, expands. And not just everybody on this planet. Gentiles too. I want the heavens to rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound. And that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord. Sing before the Lord what? A new song. Because God's always doing new things. Now, sadly and tragically, you all know what happened. Because we read at the end of 2 Kings, this didn't happen. The nation failed. In fact, not only did Israel not impact the world to make it more of a group of individuals who worshiped Yahweh, the reverse happened. In Israel, they began to worship false gods. And Israel became like the world. The world didn't become like Israel. Since Abraham in Genesis 12, that was God's desire all along. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. I will curse all the peoples on the earth. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. In other words, God's point was this. I'm going to bless you, Abraham. The reason I'm going to bless you is I want to use you as a conduit to bless all the nations. Everybody should be blessed through you. Well, that didn't work out in Kings, did it? And so what God does is he goes from working through a kingdom with a king and which had an army and all these citizens. He decides to send his son. Now, he knew all along he was going to send the son because he knew all along Israel would fail. And you can read in the book of Romans how Israel failed and how God turns to use a different way to reach the world. Let's just look at a couple of verses. We read this earlier. The Great Commission comes from Matthew 28, 19, 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. We read that earlier. Acts 13, 47. For this is what the Lord has commanded to us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Israel didn't pull it off. But this little motley crew of ragtag fishermen, tax gatherers, and zealots came together along with this fellow named Paul. And that's what birthed the church. And it has spread. And now as a result, thousands of miles away from Jerusalem, just like the psalmist envisioned, there are people in Houston, Texas, singing a new song to the Lord. Two of the songs we sang this morning I'd never sung before. They're new to me. Thousands of miles away from Jerusalem, the psalmist, what he envisioned, what he hoped for, what he yearned for, and what he dreamed for, is happening in your midst. In fact, what's happening now is we as a church, realizing how we fit into the scheme of things, now we're sending people thousands of miles away and impacting people thousands of miles away for the sake of all the nations. I just want to read this in closing. You either go over or you support it financially or you support it with your prayers. And this is something really to think about. This is taken from a wonderful book by K.P. Yohanan. If you haven't read it, you need to. It's called Revolution in the World. Listen to this. He says, picture this very possible scene. You finish your life on this earth, you arrive in heaven, and there enthroned in all His glory is our Lord Jesus Christ. The other saints and martyrs you have read about are there. Abraham, Moses, Peter, and Paul. You've read about them all, and leaders from recent times as well. Your family, your loved ones who obeyed the gospel are also there. They're all welcoming you into heaven. You walk around in bliss, filled with joy and praises. All the promises of the Bible are true. The streets really are paved with gold. And the glory of the Lord shines brightly, replacing the sun and the moon and the stars. It's beyond the power of any man to describe. And then scores of strangers whom you don't recognize start to gather around you with happy smiles and outstretched hands. They embrace you with gratitude and affection. Thank you. Thank you. They repeat in a chorus. With great surprise, you ask, what did I do? I've never seen you before. I don't think. They tell you the story of how they came to be in heaven, all because your love and concern reached out to them while they were on the earth. You see, that these persons came from every tongue and tribe, just as the Bible says, from India, from Bangladesh, from Bhutan, from Thailand and the Philippines. But what exactly did I do, you ask? As a result of your support, the crowd of Asians continue. One of their own, a native evangelist, came to us and he preached the gospel of the kingdom. He lived simply, just like us, speaking our language, dressed in our clothing. We were able to accept his message easily. We learned for the first time about the love of Jesus who died on the cross for us and how his blood redeemed us from sin, Satan, and death. You supported, you paid for him to come. You trained him at your Bible college. As the crowd finishes, several whole families come up to you, and you can see the tenderness and gratefulness on their faces as well. They join the others, talking to you, taking you in their arms and holding you. You know, we never had a chance to see you face to face in the world. Now we can see you here and spend all eternity rejoicing with you over our victories in the Lord. Is this just a fanciful story? Or will it be reality for many thousands of North American Christians? I believe it could happen as Christians arrive in heaven and see how what they have laid up for has paid off, how they have laid up treasure where neither moth nor rust cannot corrupt. You're never going to regret what you do for East Africa or any missions that we do here. You will be eternally grateful, as will thousands of others. Let's stand up. We're going to be saying a prayer here, not only to close our service, but after we are done here, you are immediately able to go over and start lunch. And rather than waiting till we get X amount of people, we're just going to pray for the meal now. So when you go over there, you feel free to go in the side door that's marked and go through there and just go ahead and sit down and start eating. And thank you for coming. Lord, we do thank you so much for what you've done throughout history to reach people who are lost. We know you want to see people come to salvation. We thank you for using Grace as well as many other churches in East Africa and other places around the world. We're grateful for the ministry that you allow us to be involved in. Help us to always be focused on reaching the lost and concerned about the lostness of a world that's hurting. We thank you for the food that we'll be eating together and the fellowship we will enjoy around tables. And we ask your blessing on that food. Thank you again for this time we've had together worshiping you and your Son. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.